Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning. Somebody might not have hit mute somewhere. Huh? Mute it. Whatever mute it means. I was told to say mute it. Does that mean anything to anybody in the room? Mute it.
It should.
It should. Huh. Good morning. Everybody good?
Whoop-hoop!
Going on, Steven? Just walk right by the camera, okay? That's what you do. Proper church etiquette. Jeez. Every Sunday? Gosh. Okay, we're going to have a church etiquette class. All right? Yeah, Miss Deborah. How church etiquette works, you know? Man. Wow. So Paul's out, huh? Yeah? Did y'all see the share on my timeline from Mandy and T-Bray and all them about the associate pastor and the youth pastor when they get selected to preach? Did y'all see that? With McMahon walking in, he just, yeah. So I'm supposed to strut this morning, Pastor Ginger. Supposed to strut. In my Star Wars shirt, that's right. But anyhow, Pastor Paul is out. Y'all continue to pray for him. I've heard some. I haven't heard all. I've heard some of the things that he's seen and been a part of that God's doing. So we should have an expectation when he returns, and that'll be Wednesday. Yeah, so I'm sure next Sunday is going to be fantastic. This Sunday's still going to be good, I hope. I've got about 20 minutes to do an hour and a half, so we'll get it done. We will. We can get in there. You went long? Yeah, we pieced in. We pieced in. Well, this one's going to be hashtag LOL. LOL. Yeah, but not the one you're thinking. Not laugh out loud, but to love out loud. That's what it's there for. Hashtag love out loud. LOL. You know, so we can go ahead and put that in there and just know that's where I'm going to land. So the last few times I've been up here, I've tried to talk to you about unbelief and that unbelief kind of pulls against our belief, right? You believe one way and unbelief pulls you the other way. It makes a lot of sense, right? And so faith is constantly being stretched and pulled, right? Our faith is being pulled because you've got that unbelief working against it, you know? And so it's pulling against your faith and it's pulling against you. So, you know, I got to talking to God about, you know, hey, what do we need to be ministering on, Lord? What are the things that you would have to say? And the last time I was here, I kind of got a little off because I had something that was kind of right on track. But I came with this, and it's an older message that I did. Tina Turner actually brought it up at one time about what love got to do with it, right? What's love but a secondhand emotion? Anyhow, so that's this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. What does love have to do with it? And if I say that you're going to love out loud, right? Love's a big deal. It's a huge deal in the Bible. In fact, the main scripture that most of us know is John 3:16. For God so what? Loved. See, even whenever we start taking a look at ourselves as a Christian and we step into the kingdom of God and into the household of God, what's the first thing we look at? Love. The Bible also tells us that love is the thing that gives fuel to our faith. That our faith doesn't even really work without it. You know, it talks about the three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's because hope can't exist without faith to bring it to pass. And faith cannot operate without love. So love is the one that drives the other two. In fact, love can stand alone by itself. Faith and hope have to have something else to make them come to pass. But love itself can stand alone. Y'all with me? I don't want to lose you. So love is the primary function the primary core, the primary focus of every believer that walks the face of the earth. See, Paul was Paul Gray, not Paul the Apostle Paul, but Paul Gray, little Paul. Paul that, you know, Paul. Pastor. We mean not right. Is he watching? Hey. Yeah, this is my last Sunday. It was good being here. God bless y'all. Paul said, and I quoted him a time, God does not want a church full of just believers, but a church full of disciples. And so I asked myself whenever he said this, and he said this probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and I asked myself, I said, what's the difference, Lord, between a believer and a disciple? You know, and it's real simple. A believer can just believe, right? I mean, it's just like somebody, I mean, people believe in God, but they're not disciples of Jesus. You know, they believe that Jesus was a man and that he walked the face of the earth, and they may even believe that he died and rose again, but they're not really disciples. They're not really walking the thing out. And so I started to dig into this thing. If you go to John chapter 13, it says in John chapter 13, this is verse 34 and 35, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I will give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So to separate ourselves from just regular, ordinary, everyday believers, and to get ourselves into a vein of being an actual disciple, which is a follower and a learner of Christ, we have to step over into love. It must become our primary function. It must become the primary focus. It must become the greatest thing in our lives. Your faith doesn't work without it. And your hopes dang sure ain't going to come to pass without it. Love. Shh. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my jacket off because it's hot. What you doing? Oh. I want one. I'm gonna take this one. I got this one. So Ginger went up here and got water, and I went over there and got water. Was it bothering you? All right. All right. Y'all ready? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, it's talking about you. Let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There's a lot in there. Now you see why I say I got an hour and a half. Just in that one little scripture. And there are three times it says God is love. It's not something that he has, and it's not something that he operates in. It is actually what he is. The creator of the universe is love. Now let's clarify here. Whenever I start talking about love, I'm not talking about smoochy goochy. That ain't what I'm talking about. Whatever it is. You were talking about some stuff. What was it? The stuff you were talking about that the kids say? I don't know. Gucci. Gucci. Gucci was in there. I thought so. It ain't no smoochy goochy. Am I making it work? Making it work. I'm going to stay there. Smoochie coochie. It's not the love. Can you feel the love tonight? It's not that one. It ain't that. That ain't what I'm talking about. All right? You know, even Tina Turner's talking, what love got to do? I ain't talking about that love. You know? There's just a lot of songs going through my head right now. You know, forgive me. Yeah, yeah. Hall & Oates, The Method of Love. M-E-T-H-O-D-O-F-L-O-V-E. The Method of Love. Y'all don't know that one, do you? Nope. Dang. Anyhow, when I start talking about love, I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about agape. I'm talking about the love that God is. You know, it's not just a physical love, but there's a deeper, stronger, stable level of love than just something that's attached to some sort of human emotion. So I'm beyond human emotion. It may involve and may have a piece of that human emotion in it, but the love that I'm talking about further expands that. It's a love that's sacrificial. It's a love that gives. It's a love that wants less of self and more of the other, right? It's a love that what and who God is. He is love. And for us as Christians to decide that we want to walk in this love that I'm going to talk about this morning, that we want to live in this love that I'm going to talk about this morning, we have decided that we want to walk in and live in God Himself. I just want more God in my life. Lord, just want more of you. Less of me, more of you. Well, then walk in love. For God is love. You want more God in your life? Put some more love in your life. Then you'll have plenty of God in your life. Oh, Lord, I don't feel you no more. I don't feel you. Well, don't be trying to find some sort of feeling out there. Just walk in love that we're going to talk about this morning. Walk in that, and now you're walking in God. You're walking with God. You ever seen those pictures of the footsteps, and Jesus' steps are one of them, and you're spent, okay, but how do we get there? How do we get to a spot where we're truly a disciple of Christ? How do we get to a spot where we're truly walking with Jesus every single day, every single moment? We've got to get in love. If we're not walking in love, then you're not necessarily walking in Him. Because He is that. Anything outside of that is outside of Him. If you're outside of love, you're outside of God. Amen? Because God is love. He is this love that I'm talking about. I mean, I know I'm hammering you with it, but I just got to drive this point. It is love. He is love. It is this love that we have to walk in. This love that we have to live in. We have to breathe in. We have to understand. We have to be able to define. We should be the best lovers on earth. So we're called to this thing. We're called to walk in it. We're called to be it. And people will know that we belong to Him because we operate in this thing. It's not because I lay hands on somebody and they're healed. It's not because I speak in tongues. It's not because I preach. It's not even because I come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. People know that I'm His because of this love. That's how they know I belong to Him. That's how they know that I'm a Christian. That's how they know that I am here to represent Jesus Himself. It's because of this love. It's not the amount of word that I know. It's not the amount of money that I give. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It's simply finding the fact that God's people are known in, by, and through His love. It's His. It's what He is, and it's what we walk in. Amen. So, we're going to be talking about love. Verse 16 says that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in God, abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Not only do we have to know this love, but we have to be able to believe that this love is working. You have to operate and mix it with your faith. If your faith is not involved with this, if you don't have any belief in this love, if you don't even expect this love to do anything in your life, it's probably not going to work out like it's supposed to work out. We have to know and believe this love that God has for us. We have to be confident in this love that He has for us. We have to know that no matter what comes against us in this life, whatever tries to pull us back and knock us off of the horse that we're on, no matter what's happening in this life, we have to know and believe that His love is there to support. His love is there to push us through. His love is working in our lives no matter what. You have to believe this thing. You have to not only know it, but you have to believe in this love. This love, it requires your devotion to it. God is love. Henry Drummond, he wrote a book one time called The Greatest Thing in the World's Good Book. Need to read it. I think it's good. Yeah, The Greatest Thing in the World. Henry Drummond described love as light, which I think is really good. Because light itself, like this light, this beam of light right here, or I don't know, pick a beam of light somewhere. When you look at a beam of light and you're looking at it through your regular eyes, it's light, so it's open. It kind of really doesn't have a color, but if you had to say it had a color, it was kind of whitish, you know, sort of. It's bright. But Henry Drummond brought out that love is a lot like light, because if you take light and you pass it through a prism, what happens whenever light goes through a prism? Anybody? Separates. And you're able to see all the different colors that make up that which we call light. Okay? So, the love of God that we're talking about, if you pass it through a prism, so to speak, as Henry Drummond was talking about, you find out that there are different facets and pieces and colors of this love. It reminds me of James chapter 1, where he says, count it all joy when you're falling through trials and tribulations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be full and complete and lacking nothing. Y'all know that scripture? Have you ever read it in the Message Bible? It says, let love work, and when pressures come, your true colors will shine through. Which is a song that Cyndi Lauper, I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors shining through. That's why I love you. Don't be afraid. She sounded so much like Elmer Fudd, you know? Anyway. Moving on. But you have to realize that whenever we get squeezed in life, that which is in us will come out. Your true colors will begin to show. Your true colors will begin to shine. If you really want to find out what kind of person you are, let me put you through the fire, and then I'll know who you really are. Because of the true colors that come shining through every time. Every time. So, back to Henry Drummond. These are the true colors that should be coming out through us. Patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy. Unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, which is no guile, and sincerity. So there's 9 colors, if you will, or facets of love that shine through. So love is patient, it's kind. It does not envy, which means it lives in generosity. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. So there's the humility part. It does not behave rudely, which then means that it's courteous. It's not seek its own. So there it's unselfish. It's not provoked, which means it's got a good temper about it. It thinks no evil. So therefore, there's no guilelessness in it. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, which is its sincerity. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, love has different colors to it as it begins to shine through us in life. So when we begin to love out loud and we LOL ourselves through life, these are the things that should be coming out. Henry Drummond said, where love is, God is. He that dwells in love dwells in God. He's quoting this scripture right here, for God is love. Man, that sounds awfully familiar. Therefore, love, without distinction, without calculation, without procrastination, love. Lavish it upon the poor where it is so very easy, especially upon the rich who often need it most. Most of all upon our equals where it is very difficult. For whom perhaps we each do least of all. There is a difference between trying to please and giving pleasure. So give pleasure. Lose no chance of giving pleasure, for that is the ceaseless and anonymous triumph of a truly loving spirit. I shall pass through this world but once, and any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Love. I love how he says this. He says, love, where was it? Without procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. No. Right now. Today. Immediately. I mean, the love of God should be so ready to enact that we are just looking for opportunities for this thing to come out of us. Well, I just read to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4. Excuse me. I'll get there, y'all. There's just so much I'm just skipping, you know. Just jumping through. Jumping through, skipping. Because I know we got to go eat somewhere. Somebody's stomach just growled. I heard it. I like the Hayford translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. That includes yourself. You got to have patience with yourself and also people around you. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy. Since it's non-possessive and non-competitive, it actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It's not ostentatious, which just means it's not all about self and look at me and how great I am, okay? Don't get caught up in the words. Get caught up in the concept. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence, but rather it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It's not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Do they have this up there? No, they're doing the King James Version. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't keep account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. It believes the best about others and credits them with good intentions. It's not suspicious. Suspicious. Love hopes all things, never gives up on people, but affirms their future. Love endures all things, preserving and remaining loyal to the end. Love will never fail. Why is it that love will never fail? Because love is always putting the other person first. God so loved the world that he gave for you. You should love the world so much that you give for them. There's a lot to be learned in this thing. We should be masters of it. We ought to know this backwards and forwards, inside and out, left and right. I remember Bill Bush. He started Living Word Worship Center way back. Bill Bush said, you know, love is patient, love is kind. If you just learn that, you'll be okay. Just being patient and being kind with people. Think of the opportunities that God has given us to be patient and kind and forgiving and not mean and not boastful and not rude and all the things. The opportunities that he's given us to show his love to people, and we decided not to. I mean, I had to go through this first, so I've already been flogged. It's okay. There's peace in it. Because as we put these principles to work, we put God to work in our situation. You want God to show up in your situation? Be patient and kind. Having long suffering, which means that you suffer a long time. And have patience with that imperfect person that's across the table from you or standing in front of you. Try that. And watch God begin to work. Now they know, whether they realize it or not, that you're a disciple of Christ. Because here's the trick. You're not dealing with the person. All right? When something's coming against you, it's not them. It's never them. There's something spiritual behind them that's trying to push your buttons. The enemy or one of his little minions knows how to push your little old buttons. So they find somebody that might be a little bit weak in their walk with Christ, and they kind of talk to that person and influence them to kind of nudge you just a little bit and get at you. It's not the person. It's not the person. It's one of the greatest revelations I ever had. When somebody comes and gets me or something, it's not the people. My God, Jesus loves them. He sent me to love on them. It's not them. It's what's behind them. They're listening to the wrong spirit. All they need is for somebody to pray for them. They need somebody to pray that they will hear from the Holy Ghost as opposed to that nasty mess that they're listening to. I was just told if I get on this side, it won't do that anymore. I didn't know that. Learned something new. So is it the podium or is it the location? It's the camera. Oh, camera. I'm not. No, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right here. It's not the person. It's not the person. It ain't them. It's the enemy. It's some spirit that they're listening to that's behind them, that's on their shoulder going, hey, say this. Just see what happens. It's the truth. And here's the other thing. How many times has that been you? You the person listening to that, just say this. Whoa. Dang. No way I could have offended somebody. Oh, yeah. You sure could have. You can come across pretty harsh, Greg. Yeah. See, I told you this was for me. Love is patient, it's kind. It's tenderhearted, it's forgiving. It doesn't seek its own. It doesn't parade itself. It's not easily offended. It doesn't behave rudely. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. Bears everything that comes towards it. Believes the best in every situation and hopes the best for every person. It'll never, ever, ever, ever fail. When we walk in love, we walk in God. If you go on and you read it in the Passion Translation, which this is pretty good, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. When you see somebody else getting some good, you don't get jealous. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflates its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Never. Never. Ever, 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 ever. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 is... mostly you're going to hear that at a wedding ceremony. That's where you normally hear that from the pastor, from some sort of minister or something, is where you're going to hear that thing. Not from me. Oh, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 should be part of your daily reading. It should be part of your daily life. You want to walk with God? Walk with love. You want to feel God? Feel through this love that I'm talking about. You want to experience God? Experience this love that I'm talking about. You want to know God? Know this love that I'm talking about. As you find yourself in this love, you will find yourself in God every time. If we think about it long enough, and you let yourself dig deep enough in it, you find out that everything you're seeking, everything you're wanting out of this walk with God, because we're all selfish, amen? We're all wanting something. Don't sit there and act like you're not. We're all seeking after something. You'll find that whatever it is you're looking for is found in love. The core of God, His heart, what He is love. That means that the world was created through and by love. That means that healing that comes, the power, is rooted and grounded in love. That means that the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could become believers and be saved and born again is rooted and founded in love. That means that anything that you try to experience from and through and with God is in this love. Seek out love and find God. That's where He is. He's at the core of this thing. And don't take it like it's a beating. I know you were picking up your toes a few minutes ago, you know, and I think it was Marvel Lee said the other day that whenever I preach, it just always seems like I'm... Who was it? Somebody said that. Was that you saying when I preach, it feel like I get on your toes? It was who? Lisa. Hey, Lisa. Lisa's not here this morning. Yeah, Lisa says she wished she could bend her legs a little bit better because whenever I go to preaching, it gets on your toes. And that's not what I'm trying to do, and that's definitely not what God's trying to do with love. Love should be something we embrace, not something that we try to, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to be kind. I want to be mean because it's easier. It should be something we strive for. Gosh, I just can't get off of this thing. Excuse you. Love is patient and it is kind. It's patient and it's kind. Let's do that. Let's do it with ourselves first because we sure enough ain't patient and kind with each other enough. Then let's lavish this love on the rich folks that we know because they need it the most. They're hurting. And then we'll do it on the poor people too because they need it. And it's easy. It's easy to love on them. And not to procrastinate in it, but to make it something we do intentionally on purpose right now. Amen. We had a service before this service this morning. During praise and worship, we brought the prayer group in here during the praise and worship rehearsal. And God brought out, through the voice of a couple of our ministers here in this church, that it's time to own who we are. It's time to own that. And then Jody brought that there was a gentleman, a business owner, who started a revival back in the 1800s sometimes, simply because he wanted to see the move of God. So I feel like that God was trying to tell us this morning that we have to own who we are so that we can step over into that revival. I said it this morning that revival has begun. It's not something that's going to start. It has begun already this morning. Because they're not in heaven sitting back waiting for revival to begin. It's happening. Always has happened in heaven. And Jesus even said, Father, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That Jesus, whenever he was here, he was seeking after, He was seeking after this revival, this celebration, this victory that heaven seems to walk in. He was attempting to get that to show up here on the earth. So much so that he showed us how to walk it out, how to do it, how to live in it, how to die in it, and how to be born again in it. I mean, he showed us the whole thing. He showed us all of it to show us how to get heaven here on the earth. Revival is happening right now. I don't care what any church says. I don't care what any pastor says. I don't care what any believer says. Revival is taking place right now, today, on the earth. Better and stronger than it ever has before, because the believer knows more, can do more, and is operating in more of God today than we ever have before in times past. Today is my best day on this earth, not yesterday. Today is my best day on the earth until tomorrow hits. Until tomorrow comes, until I hit tomorrow, today is the absolute best day. Revival is taking place right now. Today. And it starts and has started with God's love. You walk in His love. You walk in Him. And you watch people being changed right in front of your eyes. We want to see people. We want to see this place full. We want to see the world change. We want to tear down hell. And we want to build up heaven. We want to change the face of folks. We want to work with people and have people come in and change. And we want to see God moving. No, we find it in love. It begins in love, and it's begun already. You're either going to jump aboard with what God's doing, or you're going to sit back and watch. I'm in there. I will own who I am. I'll own it 100% in God. I will own it. He has called me. He has called you. He has called all of us to a greater purpose than that which we're walking in today. There's a greater purpose out there for you. There's a greater purpose out there for your family. There's a greater purpose that's in you right now. It's rooted and grounded and found in God's love. Love on people and watch God take you to places you've never been before. Why is it that Paul's in Tanzania? Because he found God's love. He's operating in God's love. He's moving in God's love. He is exuding and showing God's love, so therefore he is fulfilling that which he has been called to do. Man. Love like never before. I dare you, smile at somebody. Just smile at them. You get an immediate harvest on your seed. See? I don't look at any of y'all. I'm making all kind of people smile that don't normally smile. Yeah, I see you, Clayton. Turd. Anyhow, I think I'm done. Y'all get it though, huh? Y'all with me? We CCAM, we're not your everyday church. We would like to see change. We would like to see growth in you. Our job is not complete until you have reached the full potential of what God has asked you to do. He hasn't called. Golly, man, I gotta shut up. Don't look. Yeah, I'm going to go long. If y'all got to go, get out of here. I love you. Go ahead, Mr. King. You know, don't look at the pastors of this church and think that we are the ones that have been called to do a particular thing. We're called to you. That's what we're called to. We're called here to equip you to go do what God's called you to do. Now, do I have my personal minute? Yeah, I got stuff I got to do, but that's not my calling here. This thing right here is put here for you, to equip you, to prepare you, to get you ready and get you trained up enough that you can go and do what God is asking you to do. We're not happy until you get busy. We're just really not. And then once you get busy, we're going to ask you to do more. And then we're going to kick you to do more. And we're going to expect more. And we're going to want more. And we're never going to stop pushing. As long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to push you to do more. Because I know you can. I know that God has called each and every one of you far beyond where you are today. I could see it. I could sense it. Go in my prayer closet, your faces come up, and I know that there's more we can do. I'm not going to stop pushing. I don't care how many toes I got to step on. I don't care how many of y'all I got to make mad. You're going to do more. We all are. We're going to get to where God has called us to. We're going to get there. Revival has begun. It's happening now. Jump on board. Get in there with us. We're finna roll. We're going to roll like never before. Like never before. Just sense it in the spirit. Just sense it. Amen. Love y'all much. Let's stand.